I hope everyone has lesson part six, the one another's part six, and we're getting close toward the end, and we'll see some good things. Let's go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, we're continuing our study of what we're calling, of course, the one another's. We're seeing the various commands in the Scripture, in God's Word, which show us how we relate to each other, to one another. There are over 60 places. We sort of summarized and put them together in just a little group of them. I have a handout. If you didn't ever get this handout, you can come get it. This one says, it's the outline. It's the one that we've been putting up there. It says there's seven positive one another's and three negative. Of the seven, there's different ones underneath it. So there's more than just 10 total, but there's a bunch of them, and you might want to pick that up sometime. We're seeing the one another's, and the goal, when we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, we're placed in the body of Christ, and the goal is to impact other people's lives. We have seen the overarching, I think that's the first slide we should have, is the overarching one another, which is love one another. We are to love one another. That's the overarching one. If we love one another, we'll be doing all of the other one another's. That's what's so powerful about it. And this morning, we're going to start looking at what we call the negative ones. And when we say negative, it's the things we're not to do to one another. And I think we'll be excited as we look at this. The one this morning is don't judge one another. Woohoo. Okay, we'll see how that ties together. Let's start with a prayer and then we'll get into it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thanks for our class. Thanks for Jesus Christ and the eternal life that He gives simply by faith. Thank you, Lord, that it is grace and it is faith and it's not our works and it's not what we do or promise to do or keep on doing. It's not our faithfulness. It's your faithfulness. Thank you that salvation is a gift and that eternal life comes freely. And Lord, thank you for the Word of God, which is perfect. And the fact that you have placed us in the body of Christ, that by faith in Jesus Christ we become in Him, and we're all in this together with different gifts, talents, and abilities, and we relate to one another, and what we're to do is love one another. Thank you, Lord. If you have loved us, we ought to love one another, and Lord, as we love one another, we'll do all these other things. So help us, Lord, as we do that, and teach us, Lord, as we study. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in the 60s and early 70s, there were some issues in the church. When I say the church in America, it had to do with hair and dress. Some of you remember it, some of you don't. There were young people who had trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior. They'd come out of sometimes called the Jesus movement or the hippie movement, and they believed in Jesus Christ, and they had longer hair, and they didn't dress as well as some other people. Back in that day, people were much more, they dressed in a different way. And nowadays, if you notice, very few people wear coats and ties. Very few of the men wear suits or coats and ties. It's gone the way of casual. Most people don't anymore. When I first came to Countryside 20 years ago, most men who came to church 20 years ago wore a tie for sure, and a coat. Some of them wore suits. If you notice now, most people don't. Our culture is so much more casual. Well, in the 60s and 70s, most all of the men wore coats and ties and suits, and there were people, there were especially young guys coming to church, and they had long hair, real long hair. And they weren't dressing in, they were in blue jeans to church. They were coming in, and they looked like the hippies. And they came out of the Jesus movement, and when they came to church, people had problems with them. They said, these people shouldn't come to church with long hair. You're not supposed to have long hair. It's not supposed to be long and come over that way. And they weren't dressing right. And of course, the issue, some people would even say, how could you really be a Christian if your hair would look that way? That's what some said. And how could they be a Christian if they didn't dress in a certain way? And though there were issues and conflicts. In the churches over the years, there have always been issues among believers, whether it's hair or dress, or the type of music, or the type of worship, or the Bible translation. All of these, at one time or another, have been issues in churches. You know, there are churches today that if you use something other than a King James Version of the Bible, you're in trouble. I mean, something's wrong. They say that this translation, this New American Standard, and this NIV, I mean, they're of the devil. They're not from God, because it's not the King James. There's some people who would say that. There have always been these issues, and people would judge others because they don't believe exactly the same. Well, this morning, we're going to look at the one another's. We're going to see the issue of judging one another. And it's easy to judge. It's easy to judge because people are all different. And so somebody can look at somebody or somebody can see somebody do something and say, I don't think that's right. I don't think they should do that. I don't think they should wear those clothes. Everybody knows you ought to wear this when you go to church. Everybody knows you ought to have this Bible translation. Everybody ought to know. I mean, that's what people think. We have been seeing, of course, these one another's. They're the key one, and the key overarching one is to love one another, and all of them fall under this. Well, this morning, we're going to look at the negative aspect. Now, I don't have the overhead for you, which has all the outline, but I just want to remind you, under the overarching one another, we had love one another, and the overarching one another, which is love one another, we had serve one another, care for one another, build up one another, admonish one another, forgive one another, that's a real hard one, pray for one another, and submit to one another. That's the ones that we have seen over these weeks. Tied in with that are things like being kind, regarding, being devoted, bearing one another, burden, accepting one another, encouraging one another. All those came under there. These last three, which we'll see, deal, it's a negative, it's put negatively. It's like, don't judge one another. Don't have conflicts one with another. And then the last one we'll look at is don't have lawsuits with one another. So this morning it's don't judge one another. That's the where we are. And so we'll talk about judging one another. In fact, I think we can go ahead and put the first one up. This week is don't judge one another. Romans 14:13 says, let's not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. So he says, let's don't judge one another. Well, what's he talking about? And let's get real practical on this thing. Is there a time to judge? What does this mean when it says don't judge one another? Aren't we supposed to judge one another? Didn't we even see that it said to admonish one another? And we said that to admonish one another was to go to somebody and confront them. So do we judge? Well, when we think about judging, there are several things involved. First of all, let's think about this. When you know that someone close to you, it has to be someone that's connected with you, someone that you have a relationship with, someone that you're in fellowship with or have a relationship, if you know that they are doing something that is contrary to Scripture, you know that they're doing something that is wrong, you can go to them. You can admonish them, as the passage says. Admonish one another. It has an idea of confronting. Sometimes when you go to someone who is doing something wrong and you say, you know that's wrong, what do they sometimes say to you? Who are you to what? Judge me. How can you judge me? You're not supposed to judge me. Who are you to judge me? Doesn't the Bible say, don't judge lest you be what? Judged. And doesn't this passage say, let's not judge one another anymore? So are we in a little conflict here? How can you admonish but not judge? How does this work? Well, the truth is this. Whenever you're going to someone and you're admonishing them, and you're seeing what they're doing that is contrary to the Scripture, you are not judging them. The Word of God is judging them. The Word of God sets the standard that says certain things are right and certain things are wrong. And so if someone is contrary to the Scripture, and you as a fellow believer go to them and say, this is wrong, and you need to change this, and if they were to say to you, you're not supposed to judge me, you can say to them, I'm not judging you. The Word of God is judging you. I'm admonishing you through the Scripture that I'm confronting you with something that you're doing wrong. We're not judging them. The Word of God is judging them. So when they say, who are you to judge me? Say, no, it's not me. It's what? The Word of God. Now, there are times that people, when the Bible talks about not to judge one another, it's talking not about people going contrary to the Scripture. This judging is different. He's talking about, and we're going to find it in Romans 14, he's talking about what we often call the gray areas, the doubtful areas, or better put, the areas of freedom and preference that each believer has. Wherever the Bible does not speak, you have freedom to make wise choices. The Bible doesn't tell you what clothes to wear to church. If someone comes and says, all men must have a tie and a coat on, that's what they should wear to church, where in the Scripture does it say that? It does not say that. So each man has freedom to choose to wear whatever he chooses to wear. There's freedom there. When a person comes up and says, you're not dressed correctly, you ought to dress better than that, that person is judging them not on a scriptural basis. They're not supposed to do that. Do you see the difference? One, it goes back to the truths of God's Word. The other goes back to people's preferences. In areas that the Bible does not speak, you have freedom. I want you to understand that the Christians for all throughout history have been afraid to give fellow believers freedom. They're afraid. They're afraid if especially the church, and I'm talking about the organized church, and especially people in places of leadership in the church, they're so afraid if they give people freedom, people will mess up. They're so afraid they give people freedom, people will do their own thing. That's why throughout history, the church has kept people in the dark, and I'm talking about the organized church. And so what you must understand is you have great freedom where the Scripture does not speak. Great freedom. There are times when believers judge each other that is not biblical. It is when we judge not on the Word of God, but on personal preference. The standard has to be the Word of God. When it's not the Word of God and it's someone else's personal preference, then that's where it says, don't judge one another. Don't confront somebody on your personal preference. If there's going to be a confrontation, it has to be on the Word of God, and then the Word of God is the judge. Does this make sense? You see the contrast. When we judge people on the clothes they wear, whether they go to movies or not, whether they watch TV, whether they homeschool or not, whether they send them to Christian schools or not, when you start judging people where they have freedom, this is why he says, therefore, let's don't judge one another. This is the difference. When we find God's word is the issue, it is not judging. It is the Scripture that does the judging. Whenever it's personal preferences, that's where we have a problem. I want you to see the flow of Romans 14. Paul is dealing with the whole issue that there were people judging one another, not based on Scripture, but on personal preferences. Now, if you've been with me at all when we had Wednesday night studying 1 Corinthians, and then later on we switched it over to Sunday night because we put CBI on Wednesday nights. If we're at all with the study of 1 Corinthians, you found that there's an issue in Corinth which is on eating meat offered to idols. Whether you could eat that or not. Some Christians said, look, it's meat that had been offered to an idol. We know an idol is nothing. There's no such thing. There's only one true God. That's nothing. It's good meat and it's a good price. I'm going to go into the temple area and I'm going to the pagan temple area. I'm going to buy it and eat it. Won't bother me at all. That's the way some believed. Some would go in and go, oh, no. If it's been offered to an idol, it's polluted. You don't want to do that. You don't want to even connect with that. And Christians should not eat meat offered to idols. That's why in 1 Corinthians, Paul had to write to them to talk to them about this whole issue. Paul's dealing with some of the same issues in Rome over eating particular foods and over one day different than another day. And we're going to talk about it in just a second. Let's see what we have here. Look at Romans 14, verse 1. Now, accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. So let's start off. He says, accept the one who is weak. We're going to talk about the weaker brother and stronger brother in just a second. He says, but the issue here is not passing judgment on his opinions. If there's going to be any judgment done at all, it has to go back to what? The Word of God, and then it is the Word of God which is doing the judging and not the person. Whenever you are not using the Word of God, but you're using your personal preferences, then you are judging. Now, in this passage, we're going to talk about what they call the weaker brother and the stronger brother. Let's see if we can put it up. I think we've got some slides. Romans 14, there are two types of believers, the stronger brother and the weaker brother. Okay? There's the stronger brother and the weaker brother. Let's talk about the weaker brother first, I think. The weaker brother is one's this. They're a believer, but they're weak in faith, meaning they don't always go back to God's word on certain things. And in fact, that's 14:2, where it says one person has faith that he may eat all things, but the other one who is weak says, nope, you can only eat vegetables. Do you understand? In verse 2, there's an issue. Some Christian says, you can eat anything you want. Another Christian says, no, you can only eat vegetables. This is the weaker brother. This is the stronger brother. The weaker brother is weak in faith. He's not basing everything on God's word. And number two, there's a number two, I think, under there. He doesn't have the knowledge. He has the lack of biblical knowledge. That's why Romans 14:14 says, I know and convince the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean of itself, but to him who thinks anything to be unclean, it is unclean. If they don't have that biblical knowledge. So here's the bottom line. There's the weaker brother who would, let's just use this example that Paul's using. Let's pretend we're all Christians here and there's an issue that's come up in the church, and that is, should we eat hamburger or should we only eat tomatoes? Okay, that's the issue. The weaker brother says, everybody knows that you shouldn't eat hamburger. and we're supposed to eat only tomatoes. Some other Christians go, no. Stronger brother says, wait a minute, the Word of God doesn't say anything about whether you should eat hamburger or not. So we should eat hamburger. The other person over here says, well, we all know that you shouldn't eat hamburger. And so you've got a problem between the weaker brother who doesn't have the biblical knowledge and is weak in faith, and the next one is the stronger brother. Look at the stronger brother. He lives based on the scripture, but look at number two. He has the knowledge of the Bible. Now, historically, a lot of people have thought the stronger brother was the legalistic one. The one who says, we don't go to movies. We don't play cards. Women, we don't let our women wear pants. I hope they wear something, but we don't let them wear pants. We don't do this. We don't dance. We don't this. We don't do. And they had all these rules. And they appeared to be the more mature, because some people say, yeah, we are the more mature because we know what's right. Well, the Bible doesn't say anything about what a woman wears, whether she wears pants or not, or whether you go to a movie or not, or whether you play cards or not. It doesn't say anything about that. So that throughout history, there have been the weaker brothers and the stronger brothers. Okay? And in this passage, Paul starts by saying, and listen, here's what would happen. You say, oh yeah, the weaker one judges the stronger one. Guess what? The stronger one judges the weaker one as well. The weaker one says, you're not supposed to eat hamburger, you're doing wrong. They judge the stronger. The stronger says, you sure are stupid, you don't know anything. Judges the weaker. If someone sat down beside you and said, what Bible do you have? And you said, well, I've got the, a lot of people have NIV, a lot of people, some have New American Standard. What if this person said, what do you have? And you said, well, I've got a New American Standard. And they said, that's the wrong Bible. That Bible is wrong. There's only one Bible, and that's the King James. Now, what have they done? Have they judged you? Yes. And if you look at them and say, you're the most stupid person I've ever seen in my life. You don't even know what you're talking about. Have you judged them? This is what he's talking about. Then he says, don't judge one another. This is the kind of things he's talking about. He's not talking about scripture. He's talking about these issues. So look at the verse. Verse chapter 14, verse 1. He says, now, except the one who's weak in faith. He's talking to the stronger brother. Except the one who's weak in faith. When the weak in faith says only tomatoes, what do you say if you're the stronger brother? If you want to eat tomatoes, that is so wonderful. I'm behind you all the way. Because he says, except the one who's weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his what? What does it say? Mine says opinions. It's not talking about scripture here. And then he says, look how this works. One person has faith that he may eat all things. One person says, I can eat hamburger. But the one who is weak says, no, only tomato. Now, you've got two believers. Is the issue of eating the hamburger or the tomatoes, is it in the Bible? No, it's not scripture. So each person is free to go whatever route they want to go. Now, the person eating tomatoes, he can say, I'm just going to eat tomatoes the rest of my life. The issue comes when he judges the guy for eating a hamburger. And the hamburger guy says, I can eat a hamburger the rest of my life. The issue comes when he judges this guy and says, you're so stupid because you don't know anything. You could be eating a hamburger. That's when the issues come. He says, don't judge one another. All of us are different. All of us have different backgrounds. Some people grew up saying, well, we always do this. And some say, no, we never grew up that way. We do it this way. If it's not a biblical issue, each one of you has the freedom to do whatever you want. Don't judge one another. That's what he's talking about. Look what he says. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat. Now, who's the one who eats? That's the stronger brother. He's not to do what? Regard with contempt. That means look down upon, saying, you sure are missing out. You don't know anything. He says, the one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat. And the one who does not eat, guess what? Is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Has God accepted the guy who eats the hamburger? Has God accepted the guy who eats the tomato? Yes. Both of them. It's not the issue. Isn't it funny how throughout history we made the issue on what Bible you use and what songs you sing and what clothes you wear when those aren't the issues in the Scripture? And you have freedom. And he's saying, look, with the freedom that you have, don't judge one another, because the guy that eats, don't let him look down on the guy that doesn't eat, and the guy that doesn't eat, don't let him judge the guy that eats. I think we ought to sing nothing but hymns. Isn't that right? I love choruses. I love them. I love that praise music. I like it all flowing together. I think we ought to sing nothing. In fact, I think God really is honored more by the chorus music than the hymn music. No. Everybody knows that hymn book. It's published somewhere, and it's got notes and everything in it. It's got to be better than this thing that just goes over and over and over. Right? Which one's right? Which one's right? The guy who says hymns only, or the guy who says choruses only? Does one look down on the other? How does it work? Yep. If you don't have a King James Bible, you don't really know the Scripture. No. If you don't use the New American Standard, and of course, New American Standard is good, NIV is good, King James is good, the New King James is good, the New Living Translation is not bad. This Net Bible, that's pretty good too. Net Bible. See? Which one's okay? Let me tell you what, pretty much most of them are pretty good. There's going to be some things that if you go back to the original language, you're going to look at some of them and say, I wonder why they translated it that way, because I don't even like that translation in that particular way. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Notice, who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands and falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Who do we stand before on these issues? God. That's why it says, let everybody be persuaded in their own mind. I wear a suit. I like wearing a suit on Sunday morning. I just feel like that's the best thing for me since I'm the pastor and I'm going to get up there. I know today that there are pastors who don't wear suits. I'm not judging them. They can wear anything they want to wear. That's up to them. This is just what I've chosen to do. If I were to say all pastors ought to wear suits because it's wrong if you don't wear one, then I'm doing wrong. And if somebody comes to me and says, you sure are stupid by not dressing down and connecting with the culture, I go, I just like this. Aren't we have that freedom? Who are you to judge a servant another? To each master he stands or falls. You know what I used to wear? What I used to do is wear a suit Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, and then Sunday afternoon. Sometimes I'd go home. Sometimes I never didn't go home. I'd come back Sunday night and I had my suit on. And then one Sunday I went home and I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put on this blue shirt I got that I like a lot and not wear a coat and tie and see if anybody says anything. Guess what? Not one person ever said one thing. Not one person. Does it matter? Doesn't matter. In fact, I felt like, what am I going to do if they go up and they're going to come and say, Jimmy, you don't even have your suit on. What's the deal? Nobody said a word. Freedom. That's the first bill. Okay, we're going fast. Okay, now look where we are. So who are you to judge? Who are you to judge? And we're not talking about judging whether they're right or wrong scripturally, because we know if the Scripture says something's right and something's wrong, who's the judge there? Scripture is, right. But when these issues, we're not the ones. He gives us a second example, verse 5. One person regards one day above another. Everybody regards every day alike. Each person must be what? Fully convinced in his own mind. Some of those people in that day and time said, on this particular day, we should do this. Others said, we don't do that. In fact, we treat all days the same. Who's right? Scripture didn't do it. It didn't say anything. So, great freedom there. Each person must be persuaded. Verse 13, therefore, let's not judge one another anymore. Biblical issues, the Word of God does the judging. Non-biblical issues, each person has the freedom. Look at verse 17. See, the kingdom of God is not what? Eating and drinking, it's not what you eat, what you drink, what you wear. It's not, that's not the issues. But it is what? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. See, it's not the non-biblical issues that's the key. It's the biblical issues of righteousness and peace and joy in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he ends it, verse 19. So then, let us pursue the things which make for what? Peace and the what? Building up of one another. There's the positive. He says, don't look for the things that tear you down. Pursue peace and look for the things that build you up. I mean, we're all different. We all got our different backgrounds. We all have freedom in all of the non-biblical areas. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. So in non-biblical things, in biblical truths, the Word of God is the judge. In non-biblical issues, we don't judge one another. I mean, let's say this. If you saw a person and they were saying there's only one translation of the Bible that is right, inside you may say, poor person, he doesn't realize that there are all kind of good translations out there, and some of them are easier for other people to read, and you know, but you don't judge that person and cast him. And that person is not supposed to say, if you're not using my particular translation, you're wrong. What he should say is, you have to have the freedom to use whatever you want. Each of you be persuaded in your own minds in the non-biblical issues. Great freedom. Let me give you the applications, okay? Understand biblical judging. Understand what it is. When it's the Word of God, when it's based on the Word of God, the Bible is the judge. It deals with the rights and wrongs. There are time to judge when there's sin and the Word is the judge. So understand biblical judging. There are times that you judge, that you admonish. Number two is understand the freedom we have in our Christian lives. Think about it. A, we have the freedom in areas that the Bible does not speak. You have great freedom. It is the most freeing thing in this world to know that where the Bible doesn't give specific commands and principles and truths, you have freedom to do what you want. In fact, we always talk about knowing God's will. Wherever the Bible doesn't speak, you have freedom to make any choice you want. Wise choices. We just say, make wise choices. B, allow others the freedom to live as they are persuaded from the Bible, or they're persuaded from their background. Because from the Bible, a person may say, well, the Bible says this, so this is how I'm going to make that application in my life. Each one must be persuaded in their own mind. And C, pursue peace in our relationships based on love. Build up one another. That's the goal, is to love one another, to have peace with one another, build up one another. Book of Romans, he says, as much as possible, live at peace with all people. Be at peace with all people as much as it depends on you. See, only you can decide. I mean, you can't make people be peaceful with you, but you can be peaceful with them. So may we allow believers the freedom to live as they choose in the areas that the Bible is silent as we seek to pursue peace as we love one another. Okay, I know that's second bill, but questions, comments?
JB.
Yes.
I had 37 at my house Thanksgiving.
37 at your house, okay.
And I had two granddaughters talking in my presence, and one said, oh, you know my two girlfriends that love one another? They've decided to go to Texas and be artificially inseminated, and guess what? They're going to have a baby. I said, no, they're not going to have a baby. She's going to have a baby. And they said, now, Grandma, don't get us into that. I said, I'm not. God is. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tells you immortal sin is a sin to God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not me. I'm not judging them. I still love them. They looked at me and they said, Grandma, you live in our generation, but you're still thinking in your generation. And I thought about that, about the way we dress and the thoughts that come out of our mind.
Well, she said something right. You live in this generation, you're still thinking that generation. It's okay to think that generation as long as it's the scripture aspect of that generation, because it transcends all time. The problems come in is when we want to say, because we're different people now, we ignore the scripture and we do our own thing. As long as the scripture doesn't speak, you have great freedom to make wise choices, and we should show each other the freedom. But wherever the scripture speaks, that's the time we might admonish. Okay. Anything else?
Made
Huh? The decision on the hamburger. Everybody ought to eat hamburger. Everybody knows that. Just kidding. But he said, put the tomato on the hamburger and everybody's okay, right? That's right. Heavenly Father, what a great day. Thanks for this passage. And Lord, thank you for these truths that we know that from the Bible, there are things that are right and wrong. And sometimes the Word of God is the judge, and we admonish others whenever there is sin. But Lord, we know that where the Bible doesn't speak, each one must be persuaded in their own mind and the great freedom that we have. And so let us pursue peace, building up one another and loving one another and giving each other the freedom, not judging or looking down on each other. We love you. Thank you for our freedom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.